Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I'm pretty sure that we've all experienced pain, right? Some of you can talk about pain in your joints and arthritis and how you can't even close your hands anymore. Well, I'm talking about myself sometimes, right? Some of you may think about when you break a nail, and that's painful, right? Some of you may be thinking of a heartache in a relationship. That could be painful. Financial difficulties, that could be painful. Losing someone that you love, that could be very painful. Broken relationships, you name it. We all experience pain in life. And we've been thinking and we've been rethinking so many things in the past 11 sermons or so. That's what, 3 months? And we've been talking about rethinking different areas of our life, aligning them with the perspective of God, thinking like God, thinking from the Word of God. And I think when we do that, that's wisdom, right? That's simply wisdom when we are able to think from God's point of view and make it our own point of view. We don't have to have a personal point of view on things that is just, wow, that's impressive, right? No, we just need God's point of view is what we need in our lives. And we've been talking about so many things that we could change. And last time we talked about discouragement, but today we're going to talk about pain. Pain can be discouraging, right? But I think they go together. So we're going to change the topic and we're going to go to pain today. And I want you to look at what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. For what does a man get in all of his labors and his striving from which he labors under the sun? Because all his days, his task is painful and grievous. Even at night, his mind doesn't rest. Wow, does that describe some of us? We can't even rest properly because we're thinking of what we're going to do tomorrow. Do you find yourself racing with thoughts at night and can't fall asleep? And you're fighting yourself like, you don't need to think about anything. You're not going to resolve anything from this mattress, especially with this expensive pillow. I'm not going to solve anything tonight. So why am I thinking about this stuff? So, and it's painful. I think it's very clear that Solomon is speaking some wisdom here. But how is that relevant? You see, our entire lives could be filled with pain. And actually, that can sum up the world right there. A lot of pain everywhere. Every day is pain. Everywhere you go, you can find pain. Maybe you don't experience the same pain as others, but there are some people experiencing pain trying to find shelter right now. Some people are experiencing pain trying to find food right now for their little loved ones. Some people are experiencing difficult pain in a hospital, facing death and things like that. And you may be facing something that nobody knows right here. Life is difficult, but why is it so difficult and painful? You know, scientists say that the human body and the human humanity is able to withstand more pain than we can think of. Somebody was telling me a story of how in the midst of difficulty, a man or a woman, a human being is able to exert a certain force that it's unimaginable. And somebody was telling me a story about a man and his wife who were flying this little plane, and they crashed, and she was pinched, and somehow, some way, he gathered enough strength to lift up this little plane. Well, you know, of course, fit a couple people, that's a big plane. I mean, lift it up so she could get out. When the rescuers came, they just could not understand how in the world this man could have lifted that plane to save his wife. It was just unbelievable. There's no human strength that would make that possible. You see, in the midst of difficult circumstances, the superhero that the kids were singing about can show up and give you the strength that you need. Sometimes they say that we only use a certain percentage of our brain. I don't know. I barely use it myself anyway, so I wouldn't know. You get it? How could I know? So it's amazing, you know, the potential. But then there's so much pain. There's enormous amount of pain everywhere. And we know that. But sometimes pain is worth it, right? And that's what we got to find. What is worth in our pain? How many mothers I have here? Did you go through pain for childbirth? That hurt? But it should have. All right? But, you know, you may have had a C-section and you might have not felt it. Or maybe you was walking and boop, the kid dropped. Well, he's born now. But I'm pretty sure that with a big belly, I know the feeling of a big belly and how uncomfortable it could be. And mine's permanent, so women don't even go there. But right, but you know, this little being growing inside of you and pushing against your organs and everything, that's difficult, that's painful. You got to bear that kid for 9 months approximately. But was it all worth it? How many of you would put yourself through the birth pangs just for the sake of doing it? No, you would do it for a child, right? For the reward. You weren't just like, I ain't going to no pain just because. No. But you see, there is also so much that we can gain if we look at pain from the perspective of God and we're able to experience it from there. So, and check it out. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is a verse that everybody loves and most people know. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. I want you to notice something, that this verse in particular doesn't say we guess or we think or we might, right? No, it says that we know that God causes all things to work together for our good. You see, it's not about maybe. It's not about who knows. No, it's about conviction. Paul is talking with such a conviction here. He says, I know. And not only he says, I know, he says, you should know. You and you should know too. You should know because we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who what? Love him. Wow. This kind of gives me the oh my God, makes me scared. Because then I start thinking, well, when I don't see the good and the bad things that happen to me, is it because I'm not loving God enough? Is it because I'm not loving God? Think about that. To those who are called according to his purpose. I feel that I've been called not because I'm a pastor, but because he saved me. And I acknowledge his saving grace. And he's called me into his purpose. And so are you and so all of us who believe Christ Jesus and are walking with him. But you know what? Sometimes I just don't see the good and some of the junk that you and I go through, right? The pain. Sometimes I just don't see it. But then Paul says, we know. Do we really, really, really know? That should sink in. This is simply, you know, it's not a promise for everybody. It's a promise for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Then he can work things in us. Now, today I'm going to give you five things that we should think about in pain when it comes to purpose and God's purpose for pain. And for that, I want us to just recap for a second. You're going to see it throughout all 5 points. But just so you know, the five main purposes of Christianity or the purposes of God in our lives. Number one is we were planned for God's pleasure, right? You've seen that maybe in the Purpose-Driven Life book, remember? What on earth am I here for? We were created for God's pleasure. Even though we cause him pain. But we were created for his pleasure. He created us for him, to love him, to worship, to learn to love him, to be with him. That's what we call worship. But also, God also created us so that we can have a relationship with others, to love one another. That's called fellowship, right? So we talk about worship in our relationship with God. And we talk about a fellowship, which is our relationship with others. And also, as he called me to his purpose, once I become a Christian, once I become a disciple and a follower of Christ, my main goal is to be like Christ, to grow like Christ. That is called discipleship. That is what we do. So we do worship, we do fellowship, we do discipleship. We grow into the shape that God has made us to be. The mold that we fit in, that we're supposed to fit in, is Christ Jesus and his character. And then, of course, you have to do something with that, because God doesn't want you to just keep it to yourself. So he gives you a ministry. He gives you a life message. He gives you something to do. He gives you somewhere or somehow to serve others. And we're talking about our mission should be to serve, right? That should be ministry. So we do worship, we do fellowship, we do ministry, we do growing in Christ, discipleship. And also then our mission, and our main mission is to what? W, to witness. To witness to others, to tell the story of Christ in your life, to tell the story of Christ on the cross, in a tomb, and resurrected, and with power, in the heavens, expecting him, he's coming back. Right? So witnessing. So those five things, if you can take your pain, whatever it is, and redirect it, and know that God can use it in any of those five ways, then we'll get back in shape. Because if your pain is going to cause you to draw nearer to God, praise God. If your pain is going to cause you to draw near to others, praise God. If your pain is going to cause you to serve others, praise God. If your pain is going to cause you to grow in Christ, praise God. If your pain is going to cause you to witness and to tell others about Jesus, praise the Lord. Amen? I should finish the sermon here, but I'm not. Right? As always. Let's think about this. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Now the Galatians were having a lot of trouble. This portion of the globe, this area of Galatia, was having a lot of trouble because the church was starting to get started, but a bunch of other crazy teachers started teaching that they had to do some other sacrifices and stuff. And it was becoming very confusing and the church was going through a lot of pain. That was very difficult. But you know what? He's saying, was that in vain? Did you suffer in vain? No. That meaning, you know, is your pain in vain? No, it shouldn't. You should see something for the glory of God in every pain that you go through. Now, that means that we never waste our pain. We never waste our hurt. We make it count. Something needs to happen. Something needs to happen when we go through emotional, financial, or relational, or physical, whatever pain we go through. It should somehow connect to one of these five. And number one is use your pain to draw closer to God and trust him more. Remember, I told you that the first purpose was to worship or to connect with God. So there you go. We were created for his pleasure. You use your pain to draw closer to God and trust him more. If your pain is going to cause you to draw closer to God and trust him more, praise the Lord. God is being glorified through your pain. It was not in vain. You see that? This is very simple. You see, but we need to really live it. One of the things we need to do when we're in pain is not run from God, but run to God, right? We got to run to God. Some people actually run away from God when they're in pain. But pain has a way of drawing us to God. Difficulties have a way of drawing us to God. It's amazing how even non-believers, atheists, you hear them out there and something happens and they go, what? Oh, my God. Oh, all of a sudden it's your God, huh? Right? Oh, my God. Or they go, Jesus Christ. Whoa. Whoa. What happened there? You know, in our pain, it should be something that draws us to God when you think about it. That's what happens when earthquakes and hurricanes happen, right? And tornadoes. Oh, my God. Even people who don't even believe. But you know what? Let me tell you something. I don't know why we do this, but we run away from God with our pain. He knows our pain. It's not like you're going to go and surprise him and say, hey, guess what, God? I'm hurting in this area. And he's going to be like, no way. He already knows. He knows exactly what you're going through. You know, you're not going to upset him if you tell him that you're upset. And you can actually... You may say, well, that's crazy. But you can look at it in the Psalms and you can see good people arguing with God. It's okay. You go to God and say, you know what, God? I don't like this. I hate this, actually. I don't know what you're going to do with this, but honestly, I wish I didn't have it. I wish I wasn't going through this. You think God's going to be like, oh, my Lord, how could you say that? He's not going to be surprised. He's going to hear you out. And he'll probably say, you dumb goober, come here. But he's going to listen. He's going to be there for you. You can come to him, and even when you don't understand, when something's unexplainable, when you're upset, you can come to him. You see, you think about it. Some of the stages of grief. Some of you might know them already. First, you're in shock, right? Well, you know you can come to God with your shock. And you can tell God, I can't believe this. Unbelievable. I can't fathom this. God, I just can't take this. What? And God's not going to be surprised with your shock. He's not going to be shocked. But also you can express him your sorrow, your sadness. That's part of the grieving process, right? You can come to God, tell him, I'm sad. I'm really sad. You can cry. It's okay. Cry if you want to. It's okay. God's going to listen. You see, if you're struggling with your emotions, you can come to God and say, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel. I'm feeling weird. I don't know what's going on. You can use your prayer to finally surrender and accept acceptance. Like so many of us going through grief have to come to the point of acceptance in our lives. And you can tell God that. He's going to take your pain and he's going to somehow use it for something good. Oh, that's unbelievable. That's difficult. You see, you can't suppress it. You can't repress it. You have to confess it. So don't suppress it. Don't repress it. Just confess it. Remember that. Now check this out. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 10 says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despair even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great of a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You see that? First of all, he says, oh my God, we've gone through all this, and you know we've been through a lot. But then, here we go. We trust you. We come to him. You come to God. Look at the next verse in 2 Corinthians 7:9. I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of turning to God. You see that? I'm glad that you went through your pain because it turned you to God. Now, is that something comforting you want to hear from your friend, right, when you're going through trial? I'm so glad for your pain, brother, because it made you seek God. You're like, what? I'm about to smack you. Right? That doesn't sound right, but that's what Paul is saying to them. He's saying to the Corinthians, you've been through a lot. Yeah, it's messed up what you've been through, but you know what? I'm glad you went through that pain because it helped you turn on to God. Okay, so turn to God. Use your pain to draw closer to God and to trust him. Number two, use your pain to draw closer to others in fellowship. You see, once again, fellowship, connecting with others, loving others. That's the second way that we can use, or God can use, pain in our lives for good. You know, in order to deepen relationships, to help us to relate to others. You see, whenever you're in pain, it might be a good time to have someone to relate to with your brokenness, your pain, whatever, sin, your fears, you know, without being judged or dismissed. Sharing your pain can actually build authentic relationships. You see, and that's why I always see the small group, and that's where it needs to be. It's not just about going and talking about the weather. It's not just about talking about how it went at work today. It's not just to talk about how are your kids doing. It's about going real and saying, listen, I'm struggling with this. I'm in pain, without the fear of somebody going like, ooh, look at her. Look at him. Oh, yeah. That's juicy right there. No. You see, I don't know about you, but do people who always have everything going for them attract you? Or is it people who struggle just like you that attract you to a relationship? Well, I don't like people's drama. You have a drama. There you go. So you think about it. You see, whenever you go through pain, it doesn't desensitize you. It sensitizes you. It makes you feel for others. It should turn you away from yourself and being self-centered and turn you to other people that even might be in more pain than you are. So God can use the pain to establish relationships, to be able to encourage one another, to be able to grow deeper in relationships with one another. You know, I read a statistic, and this is pretty bad. It says that about a third of marriages who lose a child, they end up splitting because they grieve differently, and because they can't understand each other's grief, and then they start growing apart. Can you imagine that? The pain of losing a child and then ending up apart in a divorce. And a lot of them say because they decided not to talk to each other through the pain. So you have to be careful when you're in pain and know that there is always somebody out there that you can connect with authenticity, to deal with your pain and see how that can grow and see how that pain may also strengthen some of your ongoing relationships. You know, having someone around sometimes is the best thing that can happen. Sometimes we just need alone time, right? But you know, have you ever experienced going to someone who's lost a loved one? Going to someone who's been through an accident or a big loss or something, and you go and you don't know, I don't know what to say. Have you ever experienced that where you're like, I'm dumbfounded. I don't know what to say. Well, guess what? Don't say anything. Just be there for them, right, Shannon? Like you said, just be there for them. Just, that's what we call the ministry of presence. Just make yourself present. You don't even need to say a word. Just be there. And trust me, when people are in true pain, in deep pain, just sitting next to them makes an impact and a difference. Just be present. Just be present. Just remember that. Don't try to cheer up someone who's grieving. Don't try to cheer them up. Let them experience the grief. Let them go through the emotions. Let them go through the emotions. Instead of you trying to get them out of their grief, you go into their grief and sharing their pain with them. Isn't that what the Bible calls us to do? Suffer with those who suffer. Rejoice with those who rejoice. You join them where they are. You don't try to bring them where you are. And that's a lot of times what we do. Oh, no, no, no. You can't be like that. You got to stop crying. Come on. We need to get up and get going. And this person is going like, what? Why don't you get up and get going, my friend? Come back another day. No, we have to be careful. So that's how we use pain to grow closer to others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And I asked this a few weeks ago, and I said, what is the law of Christ that we what? Huh? Love one another. Oh, you got that from Ashley because she said it 3 weeks ago. It was Sylvia? I thought it was you. Oh, amazing. The law of Christ is to love one another, right? But let's think about it, okay? So we can use our pain. The pain should be used, or God can use it to draw us near to him and also to draw us in fellowship close to others. But let's look at number three now. Number three, use your pain to grow deeper like Jesus. Remember I said one of the five purposes is to grow to be like Christ, okay? So that's what we call discipleship. And you think about it, when you look at Galatians chapter 5, it gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace. What else? I always forget them in English. I know I'm in Spanish, I promise you. Patience, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, meekness, and self-control, right? So you think about all that. You want to develop all those qualities in you? Do you want to be meek? Do you want to be humble? Do you want to be patient? Do you want to be joyful? Do you want to be loving? Do you want to be good? Do you want to be all that? Well, that's great. But how does God develop patience in your life? Bringing people around you that will mess up your patience. That's how God does it. How does God make you a more loving person? Bringing some unlovable people around you. How does God develop you in his joy? Bringing some people who've been baptized in lime and lemon. Bitter, right? God is going to use the opposite situation to create these fruit. If he wants to develop goodness in you, he's going to bring you around people who are not so good. to see if you can be good without them being good to you, to see if you can be loving to those who do not love you, to see if you can portray and live in joy with those who do not rejoice in anything. God is going to use totally the opposite. That's why he uses pain. Pain is an opportunity to grow in the character of Christ. Do you believe that? All right, so he's going to put you through some stuff. I'm just saying, I ain't no prophet, but that's what he does. Proverbs 20:30. Stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. You see, pain is going to drive in deep. Pain is going to go all the way in. It's going to mess you up. I like another version of the Bible or another translation. Let's say not another version. There's only one version, but a different translation that says sometimes it takes painful experience to make us change our ways. Right? Have you ever been changed? Have you ever changed your ways because of a painful experience? I'm pretty sure you have. Right? You see, once you come to Christ, you're saved. You're in him. You belong to the body. You belong to the family. God's number one purpose from there on is to grow, for you to grow, to be like Christ, to develop your character in Christ. That's what he wants to do. Now, if God's going to make you like Jesus, then guess what he's going to do? He's going to put you through stuff that Jesus went through. You get that? If you want to be a carpenter, somebody's going to have to put you through the cutting of the wood, the nailing of the wood, the measuring of the wood and everything. Because if not, you will never be a carpenter, right? Simple as that. You want to be like Jesus? You want to be like Jesus? Want to be like Jesus? You want to be like Jesus? Then he's got to put you through what Jesus went through. What did Jesus go through? How about rejection? Everybody likes rejection? Oh, man, I thought I was going to get an amen. No, of course not. Nobody wants rejection, but you get rejected. Why? Because God wants you to put you through the same thing that Jesus went through so that you can do the same thing that Jesus did. So that you can have that with you. You see, I want to ask you, did Jesus experience pain? Oh, my God. He experienced the worst of pains that you can imagine. Did Jesus experience loneliness? Of course he did. He was in the desert. He was abandoned by Peter. Was he tempted? Was he discouraged? Of course. How many times did he stand and he looked at Jerusalem and cried? And he said, if you only knew what's good for you. If you only knew what's good for you. Don't you tell that to your children once in a while? If you only knew what's good for you. I want to smack it into you, by the way. Knock some sense into them, we say. If you only knew. Jesus wept and said that about Jerusalem. If you only knew. Oh, my God. Let's talk about discouragement. Was Jesus tempted? Let's not even go there, right? Did Jesus get, was he misunderstood? Was he criticized? Yes. So guess what? Don't be surprised. Even Jesus said, don't be surprised if they do this in the, you know, healthy green tree. You think they're not going to do it in a little unhealthy bush like you? Little twig? I'm paraphrasing, okay? But God's going to make it like Jesus. He's going to have to work you through some of the stuff that Jesus went through and being persecuted and all that. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says, he was a son. He learned obedience from the things which he suffered. You see that? Wait a second. Jesus, I thought, was perfect. Yes, he was. But humanly, he grew in obedience. You see that? He was 100% human too. We have to understand that. We learn obedience through suffering. And if you're a parent, you know this more than anybody else. Children rather suffer and learn through that than to pay attention and do what you tell them to do. And then we call it in our nowadays, it's like, well, you got to let them make their own mistakes. Right? Oh, we got to let them struggle and figure it out for themselves. But guess what? Jesus suffered. And we need suffering in our lives in order to grow to be like Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, the next verse after that one says, and having been made perfect, he became to all of those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. You see the purpose there? You see how something was fulfilled? You see how God used Jesus' suffering for something good? Guess what? The only reason you're here and that's something good is because of the suffering of Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Is that what kind of draws you to this? To being here and listen to me? because of what Jesus did for you? That's awesome. Because I thought you were drawn here because I'm such a great speaker. What are you laughing at? Wow. No. We're drawn by the blood of Christ. We're drawn by the blood of Christ. And that should bring us to the point where we can have God use the pain in our lives. And you see, and, oh my God, and what he does, he's just so amazing. Now, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. And I used a different translation. I used the Message because I really like this right here. It says, and now, isn't it wonderful all the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God? Has, you see, that means like when you are driving cattle, you kind of poke them and stick them so that they stay in place. That's what it means when it says goaded you closer to God. You see that the distress, the pain, the suffering is kind of pushing you and poking you to bring you closer to God. You're more alive, more concerned, more sensitive, more reverent, more human, more passionate, more responsible. Looked at from any angle, you've come out of this with purity of heart. Oh my God. I love that. I love that translation. Look at all that happens out of the poking and pushing and all the suffering. That's amazing. You see, pain should always be transformative. Pain should always transform, change something in our lives. You need to be resilient. Paul was resilient. You see, he's talking about their resilience. He says, you know, even though you've been through a lot, and the church of Corinth was going through a lot of stuff, and we cannot get into that right now, but he says, you know what? You're okay. You came out purer of heart out of that one. You've done all right. You become resilient. And we know that Paul was resilient because last week we talked about all of the stuff he went through. And then we talked about how he saw everything that he went through and how it helped him. And his secret was that he had an eternal perspective. Remember, that was the last point of our sermon last time. He had an eternal perspective. He was thinking of what's over there, not what's down here. No earthly perspective, because then we fix our attention on things that aren't seen and we're going to be in more pain. All right? Now let's go to the next one. Another way that God can use my pain, and you have to be willing, use pain to be more sensitive in serving others. Remember that if it's going to strengthen your relationships, then it's going to give you the chance to work with others and to do for others. That's a purpose of God, that you don't just do for yourself, that you do for others. That's what somebody had called redemptive pain. Redemptive pain. You see, that pain can be redeemed for something. Just like when you take a coupon and you redeem it for a free pizza, which would be all right by now. I'm telling you, I'm hungry. You see, you can redeem that pain for something useful. That's called redemptive pain. Use your pain. Use the pain in your life somehow to redirect it and to help others, even in the midst of your pain. Now, you have to be careful with that, right? Because sometimes if we're in the middle of pain and we see somebody else in pain, I want to help them, and then become pain times pain, which means pain square. But just add Jesus then, so that way you can cancel all that pain out, right? You see, people who've been through depression may be a great help to other people who are in depression. People who have gone through, have lived a life of anxiety can relate to others that are anxious and even go in and work with them and stuff. Now, be careful. You don't have to have everything that people have in order to work with them. You don't have to go through everything I go through so that you can help me. But a lot of times what you go through is going to help somebody else if you allow God to use it. You have to allow God to use it. All right? Redeem it. Don't just keep it. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 4 and 6. Who comforts us, and of course it's talking about Jesus. Jesus, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the suffering of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. You see that? You've been comforted, now comfort others. All right, and it continue on. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation.
Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. You see, connecting even in the midst of pain and using the pain you're going through and the affliction to help others. Somebody said this, your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest pain. Your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest pain. We've seen that. You know, how many people, for example, have gone through abuse in their lives and then they become ministers to abused, to the abused? How many alcoholics have recovered and then become ministers to the addicts with drugs, sexual addictions, whatever it is? How many people have gone through divorce and then become ministers to divorce care, to others who go through it? Losses, grief. You know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. That's why when we talk about your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest pain. Somebody put it another way, somebody else. Your greatest ministry will come out of your greatest weakness and failing. Your greatest ministry will come out of your greatest weakness and failing. If you be honest, if you are honest, I said it last week and I'll say it again. You will impress people on behalf of God when you tell them your struggles than when you tell them your triumphs. Trust me, that is true. When we share our weaknesses, it draws people. When we share our strengths, people get like, ooh, proud. Ooh, pride, yeah. Look at that. Self-centered, not so humble. But when you're able to come clean and say, I struggle with this, I have this problem, this is difficult, but God's been on my side, then people are like, man, right? Kind of draws them in. So share your pain. It helps you grow with Christ and in Christ. It helps you use it to minister to others that may be going through the same. Number four or number five, I'm on the last one. Would you think that is true right now? Yeah. Use pain to witness to the world. Use your pain to witness to the world. Use your pain to witness. Sometimes we get it backwards. We think that our ministry should come out of our strengths. Oh my God, this guy can talk to thousands of people because he's such a great this. Or this woman can do this because she's such a great. That's not what it's all about. It's all about the greatness of God and our weaknesses. We can't impress the world, and we shouldn't be trying to. You see, the other day, somebody visited with our church in an activity. They were from another church. And they went back. This person went back to the pastor and said, Pastor, I got to tell you, I had such an experience when I went to Horeb. I went to this activity and, oh my God, the love, the unity, the care. And some of you who are part of a church may be saying, well, maybe you should practice it because you are the church. She was talking about you and me. She said, it was so beautiful. Oh my God, the unity, there was something about it that really touched my heart. And you know what the pastor said? Well, sorry, but I'm not into that prosperity gospel and stuff. We preach the truth here and we just tell it like it is. This person was so discouraged that had to come back and tell me. And I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. If he wants to know what I preach, tell him to come and sit. We got plenty of pews. But that's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. This person was so discouraged. They wanted to move church from the church. And I said, well, if you're going to do that, come here. No, I didn't say that. I said, go visit other churches and look for two things. Look for two things. Number one, that the word of God is preached with authority, with boldness, and in truth. Period. That's the main thing. You know what the main thing about this is? this right here. It's not the singing. It's not the money you bring and put in a basket. It's not the children singing up here. The main thing is the main thing, and it's this right here, the preaching of the word of God. I said, you go find that. And when you find that, look for another thing. Look for an opportunity to be loved and to love others in your service. Plug in and just do it. Now go visit, go check, go pray. And when you find those two things, you go at it. I thought you were going to tell me to come to your church. You can come. And if you really, really know that you can find those things, then it's for you to consider. Think about that. Talking about us, the church. See, we need to witness to others. And you don't need to go tell them. What about living it? Then when people look at you and say, wow, you know what? I see Jesus all over Sino, man. I see him. I see Jesus all over Alma. It's just amazing. I see Jesus all over Jay. I see Jesus all over John. I see Jesus. Oh, my God. It's just amazing. Without saying a word, you can witness. Let me keep moving because I'm on the last point, but I can go another hour. Paul was a pro at this. And I want you to see this. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12, it says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Wow! This sounds like a very simple verse with not much to say. But let's think about it for a second. I want you to know. I don't want you to think. I don't want you to maybe. I don't want you to even. I want you to know. I want you to have knowledge. I want you to be certain of one thing, my brothers and sisters, that my circumstances. You know what circumstances were Paul in? Paul was chained to a prison guard without even having the opportunity to go anywhere whatsoever in jail. Here's Paul. And he says, I want you to know that my circumstances have turned out to the greater progress of the gospel. I haven't even had taken a step out of this jail, and the gospel is going further and further and further. Imagine that. Would you be able to say that about yourself? Would I be able to say that? Would I be like, hey, guess what? My pain. Hey, guess what? My difficulties. Hey, guess what? My circumstances are so bad, but I'm so glad because of my pain, the gospel is being spread. Amazing, isn't it? It just makes you think. Paul had been in chains, imprisoned. Now, can you imagine them? Let's switch it around. What if Paul would have been able to go and be set free? What if Paul would have been able to walk and travel like he was? I don't know what would have happened. But because he was in chains and because he was sitting in prison without being able to move, guess what he did instead? He wrote most of the New Testament. Gee, where would the New Testament be if Paul would have been traveling and preaching instead of sitting and writing? Circumstances, man. He would have been moving around. I don't know what he would have been writing, but it's just amazing. And to think 2 Corinthians 6:4, and we'll finish up. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, but yet as servants of Christ. You know what this means? However you handle your pain, could be a success or it could be a failure. You can either end up in defeat or you can end up in victory. But we all going to have problems, and you need to know how to handle them. Your own mistakes, your sin. However we handle it, whether we do bad or we do good, it's going to have consequences in our lives. But God brings pain, suffering, and difficulties in our lives to use them for good.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.